out our sins. But with you there is forgiveness.
Then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve
and by his authority. I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
For you are not a God who delights in wickedness.
Evil may not dwell with you.
Boastful shall not stand before your eyes.
You hate all evildoers.
You destroy those who speak lies.
The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man.
But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house.
I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you.
Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies.
Make your way straight before me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn away from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right and shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his own ways. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sins.
You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger.
Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us.
Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations?
Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. They glory, they dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 10th chapter.
I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we may not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will always provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you,
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the face of deep tragedy, Jesus, our only refuge and hope, says, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." This is our text. I don't care who you are or where you live, every human being eventually comes face to face with the problem of evil. That problem of evil and suffering, it can turn all of us into philosophers. Maybe you first ran across it as an abstract question. If God is good, why is there evil? Or what can a good and gracious God mean by allowing calamities to fall on his children? Of course, we get why bad guys suffer. That makes sense to us. They had it coming. Play with fire, we say, you'll get burned. But why do innocent people suffer? Why can't God be fair, we wonder? What happened to justice? And then a day comes when it's not just an abstract question. A day comes when it's your life, your friend, your loved one. Why did my spouse have to die? Why did we suffer this miscarriage? Why did I lose my job? Why did this happen to my family? These things are real. I mentioned, and we'll be praying about this, I mentioned this morning the text message I received from Michael Maurizio to pray for the people of San Tommaso, their village, because last night a young man fell to his death while hiking. A young man who was on like the rescue squad for getting people out of dangerous situations in the hills. Why? Doubts arise. You know what it is in your own life. The people coming to Jesus in Luke 13 had their own questions as well. Why did Pilate kill the Galileans while they were worshiping God in the temple? Jesus adds one of his own. What about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? We don't know much about these events. We don't know what happened with Pilate and the Galileans worshiping in the temple. We really don't know much about that Tower of Siloam. Was there a riot in the temple? Was there an engineering flaw with that tower? All we know is that people died tragically. Now, I would remind you of one thing. I would remind you of this, that being a Christian, we aren't the only ones who are faced with this problem. The problem of evil isn't unique to being a Christian. It's a problem for everyone. Everyone has to deal with the fact of suffering and evil in the world. Atheists, Buddhists, average guys who don't believe much of anything at all. They all have to wrestle with suffering and evil. They just do it without God. And honestly, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. I'd rather be angry at God than not have one. At least I can cry out to him, question him, even accuse him. And if you think that sounds a little strong, just read through the book of Job or Lamentations or a whole bunch of the Psalms, because that's what they do. Not that we blame God, not that he deserves the blame, but at least he'll listen to my complaint. At least I can lay it on him, and he doesn't strike back. But what do unbelievers do with their suffering? Do they stuff it? Do they just grin and bear it?
Did they try to dull the pain? And to whom do they complain? I also think that what we believe helps us understand a little bit why things are this way. The mystery of Adam and Eve's fall into sin doesn't answer every question, but it does make sense, make clear that the world is broken. I think that our understanding as Christians makes the best sense of the world, both the goodness of God's creation when he made it in the beginning, but also the way in which it's broken now as we experience it. It's broken in ways that don't even make sense. And there's a reason why we think that things shouldn't be like this, because it wasn't meant to be like this. We weren't made for suffering, for evil, and for death. And what this shows us is that there's a crack in the creation, and it runs really deep. Every death should make us take stock of ourselves and our own lives. Every death, whether it's someone we know or someone we don't, makes us ask questions. What have we done with the time we've been given? What should we do with the time that remains, however much that might be? How are we prepared? What do we believe about God, Jesus, death, judgment, heaven, and hell? You might be able to go through most of your life without thinking about those questions, but they do catch up with us eventually. As I said, every death is a reminder that we'll all die. You, me, sitting in here thinking about it, and the person out on 140 heading north right now, that person as well. Now, I think one of the issues that we have when we think about these things is that we keep thinking that we ought to be rewarded for our good behavior and punished for bad behavior. That's why Jesus asks that question about the Galileans who died in the temple and those that were crushed by the Tower of Siloam. Do you think that they were worse sinners because that happened to them? And he makes clear the answer is no. We may think that only bad people should suffer, but that's not how it works. Not here, not there, not anywhere. And it's not how it works in the kingdom of God. And what do I mean? I mean that if you want to see how God acts, then just look at the cross. Let's start there. That's where God placed the penalty for our sin, for mine and for yours. But you know, when we look at the cross, what do we see? Bad guy getting what bad guy deserved? No. He punished the wrong guy. Wouldn't you know it, God put the wrong guy on the cross. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin. Nothing wrong that he'd done. He didn't deserve it. He suffered and bore the evil of this world, and he suffered and bore the evil of our sin. And yet he didn't even complain. He didn't blame God. He did cry out. There was that moment when he cried out about the ninth hour, when he cried out saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" There's our question. Why? It was for us. That's where God balanced the scale of justice. All the weight of all the sins of all the people in the world were placed on him. It was the weight of that guilt that killed him. The only innocent man who ever lived was offered as a substitute for the sins of the whole world. Can you believe it? Or we could say it this way. bad things happened to a good man, to the very best man, the only good man, to Jesus. And why? For God so loved the world, so loved this broken and senseless world and us broken and sinful people. It's his love. He refused to let suffering and evil be the last word. He made a cross out of them, and he put his son on it. And that's how God answers our cry for justice. No, evil doesn't make sense. I'll give you that. Suffering doesn't make sense. But neither does God's love and mercy for us in Christ Jesus. How do you make sense of that? Except to say, amen, and thank you. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the good things of God were passed down to all the bad people of the world and to us. I almost feel that little parable that Jesus told about that fig tree that looked barren for 3 years, and then the caretaker says, give me one more year with it. You look at a tree that looks barren, it's the cross. What can that bring forth? What good fruit can that bear? But God has done it. He has loaded the barren tree with good fruit for us and for the world. And here's the call today. Unless you repent, Jesus says, you too will perish. That's pretty straight talk. He means it. He means that he would not have the sinner die, but rather that he turn from his sins and be saved. Our world measures worth and status by our accomplishments. How much have you done? How well have you done it? Do we bring that same attitude into our relationship with God? Do we think that God must be fairly well satisfied with us? Well, because after all, we're decent human beings. And I have nothing against decency. Continue to be decent human beings, please. But each in our own way, we stand guilty before him. We may look clean and acceptable to the world. We may have the respect of those around us. And yet we are all guilty. None is righteous. No, not one. We stand condemned by the evil things we've done and by the good things we've left undone. And so we hear Jesus' call today, his call to turn. And we do. We turn and we say, turn us again, Lord, and keep turning us back to you over and over and over again every single day. Turn us to your cross, Lord. Turn us to the refuge we find there. Turn us to you, Jesus, and to your holy wounds and your innocent suffering and death. And tuck us away inside those wounds so we can find peace. When we can't make sense of evil and suffering, which is probably all the time, when pain in our own lives or in the lives of those around us serves as a megaphone to a deaf world, when our sin and guilt cry out for atonement, when we face the music in those words, repent or perish, we flee to him. We turn, we say, my God, what have you done for us? Why have you loved us so much? This is the one thing that really matters. When you read the headlines, when you hear the news, when it comes pressing in on you, remember the one thing, Jesus Christ and his cross, his redeeming blood shed for you. Claim it. The forgiveness of sins. Life and salvation earned so long ago, and washed over you in your baptism, and fed to you in this holy supper, and declared to you in the precious absolution. How then can we live? As I live, says the Lord, and as my Son lives and forgives and gives. That's how. Despite the evil in the world, there is now no condemnation, none whatsoever, not a lick or a bit of condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not fair, but it's grace, and it's God's own solution to the problem of evil. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
The thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and to pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy. May your kingdom come to us and expand. Protect and preserve pastors in their office. Bless Madison, Maggie, Marta, Livia, and Nate as they prepare for confirmation. By your Holy Spirit, help them to live under Christ in his kingdom and serve him now and forever in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. So also seek out and restore those who have wandered, and bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. We ask that you would be with those battling cancer and other health issues, especially David as he undergoes surgery, Declan and his parents as they struggle with his autism diagnosis, Bill and Donna, Blair, Bobby and Carol, Katie, John, his wife Lori, and their son Evan, Kate, Kim, Rick and Teresa, Susan, Verity, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times. Thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Give our rulers humility and wisdom. Grant peace to our land. Bless our homes. Provide us with good and godly friendships. Grant godly employment to those without work. We give thanks and praise to you for hearing our prayers on behalf of Stan. We pray that you would continue to preserve him and extend his life. We pray that you would keep in your care all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Kelly and Rachel. We ask that you would grant physical and emotional healing to those who have suffered miscarriages. And we pray that you would give peace and purpose to those who struggle with infertility. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and so that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. O Heavenly Father, grant peace and comfort to all who mourn, the peace and comfort found in Christ alone. We pray especially for April, Patty, and their family as they mourn for their brother Peter, including his wife Nancy and their two sons, and for the Chelso family and the village of San Tommaso as they mourn the death of Simone. And finally, we pray that you would deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and eternally. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command, and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 136, starting at the first verse. Give thanks to God in heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. He gives God of gods, for the steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. To rule, the sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the first of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endured forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for this steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people to the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Give thanks to God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.